I want to give you a little testimony about myself. I was born again. I'm born again. Been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I pray with my own language. I pray with a heavenly language that I do not understand. The Apostle Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. And my prayer is that the church will be awakened to the power that God has available to us that I think has been pushed to the background in many of our lives and unfortunately in many of our churches. The teaching of the Word is powerful, but it is the Holy Spirit who convinces us of truth, convinces us of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. Teaching without power of the Holy Spirit has its limitations. It is the Holy Spirit that applies the Word of God to our individual lives and transforms us. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here today, and thank you for the rich Word that has enriched our lives and the presence of your Spirit that has caused the Word to live and take root in our lives and transform us in many, many ways. We are so thankful. I pray that you'll open our hearts, Lord, to say and do whatever you would have us to say and do. Guide my speech, guide my words today, O Holy Spirit, that Jesus might be lifted up and glorified, and that our hearts might reach out and embrace the riches and the grace and the power that God has available for all who believe and all who are willing by faith to receive all that you have for us in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I promise you today, knowing that you know the hour is getting late, that I will quit when I'm finished. And so I want you to know that's something that I really want to make known to you, that I will do that. I'll quit when I'm finished. And unfortunately, there have been times that I continued a long time after I was through. But today I'll quit when I'm finished. We're going to talk today about prayer and power in the book of Acts. When you look at the scripture, you'll find out that in the book of Matthew, prayer in one form or another was mentioned 10 times in the book of Matthew. 12 times in the book of Mark, 5 times in the book of John, or rather 5 times in the book, 12 times in the book of Mark, 5 times in John. But Luke mentions prayer of one form or another 19 times. But when you come to the book of Acts, you'll find that prayer is mentioned 32 times. And prayer in the book of Acts is mostly accompanied by a desperate need or a need of some kind and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a miraculous intervention to where God literally, on occasions, literally shook the place. Now, I'm aware of the fact that in the book, the scripture teaches us that when Jesus called his disciples together, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Some people think that is all there is. However, it is the same Lord Jesus that also said, "I don't want you to leave the city of Jerusalem. You stay there until you're endued with power from on high." He said, "You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." That's not my term or some radical Pentecostal's term. I don't care if you call me a Pentecostal. I would have liked to have been there at the first Pentecost and experienced all of that. But I know that God still has Pentecost going on all over the world today because the book of Acts was never completed. We are continuing to write the book of Acts through our lives throughout Christendom all over the world. And you might be interested to know that the most vibrant growing churches are not in the Western Hemisphere, but the most vibrant growing churches are in Africa and South America and China and various other parts of the world as people come in many times in their simplicity and their lack of education, but they meet Jesus Christ and he empowers them with the Holy Spirit and they do amazing work for the work of Word of God. And there's a tremendous surge. Well, the church numerically dies in the West. It grows in many other parts of the world until we are still the largest religion in the world. And in 2050, it is projected we will still be the largest. Christianity of one form or another will still be the largest part of the world. But for us to function as God wants us to, we must be baptized continually in the Holy Spirit and renewed in the Holy Spirit over and over again. And so in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, the scripture said the apostles gathered at the ascension, they gathered together, and they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And then what happened was, at a certain time, a time that God had foreordained, Jesus said, don't even try to begin your ministries until you go and have this place of time of prayer in Jerusalem. Because you went through times of discouragement. You were defeated when you forgot my words at the crucifixion that I would rise again. You were discouraged and downhearted, but now you're going to not only face challenges that you faced in the past, but greater challenges than these. And he let them know that many of them would actually give their lives up for the cause of Christ. And he said, you need something that I'm going to send you. It is the promise of the Father. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, Acts chapter 1, verses chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. God brought this tremendous sound to awaken them. I'm sure when you go through days of prayer, there's a few times when you get a little drowsy. And then there's sometimes, you know, I say, I'm going to pray so many hours, I don't do that anymore. I used to do that sometimes. I'd try to pray so many hours, and I'd find out that I would pray, Lord, before it keep me awake, because I haven't finished my hours yet. And so, you know, but when the Holy Spirit's moving, it's just a natural thing. He said, stay there and pray. And then the sound awakened them. And then there appeared to them cloven tongues, which means divided tongues, like as a fire, and one set upon each one of them, and they began to speak in languages that they had never heard before. Years ago, I was speaking in Tanzania, East Africa, at the city of Mwanza on the shores of Lake Victoria. We went into the city, and it was during a time of unrest and a real hatred of people, white people, because of some of the abuses that had been heaped on the Africans by the British when they were in control of that particular country. And so we set up our red and yellow tent, and we announced that we were going to be having these services. And so when we started the services, we were praying, God help us. And finally, the police commissioner of that area came over and he said, there are a lot of people here that hate Christianity. There's a lot of Muslims here that won't. But he said, I just want you to know that as far as I'm concerned, I don't care if they kill you. We're not going to help you. We're not going to help your wife, your child. We're not going to help anybody. It's just up to you. We'll just see what your God can do for you. It wasn't too many nights until there was a few people coming. But suddenly we looked out and there was a whole string of torches, people carrying torches that were marching down toward the tent. And they surrounded the tent. And they were standing there and they had on their robes and their head garbs, and they were making really kind of didn't say anything, didn't make any noise, but a very threatening environment. And the Lord began to move, and the power of the Holy Spirit began to touch those people's lives. And one by one, they laid their torches down in the ground, snuffed them out in the ground. Some walked away, some came into the tent, and God began a revival. There was a man that had a vision, and he had a light that he showed. He lived in a remote village way out in the boondocks, of wherever the boondocks are. You know, I don't know where they are. That's why it's way out, because we don't know where they are. But wherever it was he came from, he had a burden. He had a desire to know God, and he shared this desire. And he came, and he followed a light, rode his bicycle for almost a full day, resting at night, coming. It was over a 20-hour trip. And he finally came to the tent. And he came into the tent and he gave his life to Christ. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that night I witnessed something I've never seen or heard before or since. There was a man from an inner tribe that came and was baptized in the Holy Spirit who didn't know a word of English, but he spoke clear and beautiful English, praising God and worshiping God and giving God grace. I tell you this story because some 30-some years later, I'm sitting in my office over at the Warehouse Christian Ministries in Sacramento, and I know some people say, why did you name it the Warehouse? It's obvious to me, it's because we're in a warehouse. And so I'm just glad it wasn't in a chicken coop. So the fact of the matter is, we called it Warehouse Christian Ministries. And that's where we still are today. And so this man comes in, he's an African man, and I didn't know who he was, and they called me from the front office and said, there's a man here to see you. I walked out into the foyer, and this African man threw his arms around my neck, and I'm not great on hugging anyway, and he threw his arms around my neck, and he began to sob, and he began to say, my spiritual father, how I have longed to see you, my spiritual father. He was one of the men who were saved 30-some years before in Africa, in a tent, filled with the Holy Spirit. He went out and became a pastor. He started a number of churches that still exist to this day. And he shared his story. He was invited by a group of people to come to a missions convention in Kansas City, Missouri. And he kept asking everybody, do you know my spiritual pastor, Lewis Neely? I'm shocked that nobody in Kansas City knew who I was. But the fact of the matter is, wait a minute, we've talked too much about pride today. I was humbled. Anyway, so the fact of the matter is, nobody knew me in Kansas City until finally God brought a man to him. He said, do you know Lewis Neely? And he said, well, he used to be with this denomination, but I don't think he is anymore. He said, last I heard, he's in Sacramento, California. And so he got on a bus, not knowing where or how or who. And he rode all the way to Sacramento, California, and there's a bus stop. We're right on the edge of Sacramento and Rancho Cordova. And there was a Greyhound bus stop in Rancho Cordova, and he got out at that stop, and he walked, couldn't find a restaurant at that time, and he finally went across the overpass, and he sat down in the restaurant, and he was getting pretty discouraged, and he prayed, and he said, God, where is my spiritual father? I've come all this way. And he said to the waitress, he said, do you know a pastor, Lewis Neely? I'm looking for him. The Lord sent me. And she said, he's my pastor. And she just left the restaurant. Her boss gave her permission. She drove him over to the car, over to the church, and we had this incredible fellowship today. Baptized, empowered by the Holy Spirit, he started dozens of churches and seen the incredible, miraculous workings of God. You say, well, that's kind of a strange story. It shocked me, too. I'm not that, well, I didn't expect to see him that day when I got up. But when you walk in the Spirit and teach in the Spirit, and he learned that in that time in East Africa, and of course an African pastor stayed there and shepherded them after the crusade was over and the church was established and continued to grow. But the Holy Spirit has the power to do things. So Jesus said, don't even begin to true your ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit. One other prayer that is in the book of Acts is found in the 4th chapter in the 31st verse. Persecution came to the church. Peter and John were used of God to bring about the miracle of the healing of a lame man. And they were forbidden to speak in the name of Jesus. They were threatened. And the church was being threatened to shut up and not say anything. And suddenly, so the church went to prayer. And as they prayed, the place where they were together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. We are being muzzled in our culture in America. We're not supposed to talk about Jesus where we work. We're not supposed to say anything about Jesus in school. We're not supposed to talk about Jesus in government surroundings. We are constantly being throttled. We are being mocked and ridiculed on television and radio for our faith, and suddenly Christians have become shy. But if you and I will be renewed in the Holy Spirit and pray in our our language and pray in the Spirit, the boldness and the power of God that enabled the disciples not to shut up, but to continue to teach and bear witness to Jesus Christ in every circumstance, whatever the cost was. And as you know, all but one of the disciples died a violent death because they could not keep them from speaking the Word of God because they were so charged and energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. And miraculous things begin to happen. Paul and Silas were singing hymns after they'd been beaten in the prison. And they were praying and singing hymns, and the prisoners were listening to them. And a mighty earthquake came and shook the prison open. And the jailer was saying that he was going to have to be killed. He was going to lose his life because he thought the prisoners had fled, but they were still there. And they became Christians because the power of God. Can you imagine being beaten, put in stocks, going in that horrible, vile, filthy place and singing praises to God and praying to God and rejoicing in the goodness of God? You can't do it in your flesh, and neither can I. You can only do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Miracles begin to happen. It continued to happen. Acts chapter 9 talks about Peter. He was called down saying there was a woman by the name of Tabitha or Dora or Dorcas that was ill, and she'd been very sick, and she'd come so sick that she passed away. She died. And they said, you've got to come and do something. So he shut everybody out of the room, and he went into the room and shut everybody else out, and he began to pray. And finally he said, Tabitha, you're all right now. You may as well open your eyes. You may as well get up, because you've been resurrected from the dead to continue to serve God. Is there any limit to what God can do? We've become so educated and we've become so sophisticated that it is hard to believe in miracles. It is hard to believe in the divine intervention of God. And yet it's happening all the time. We need the teaching of the Word. We need all of the knowledge of God's Word and all of the interpretation of the Scripture. And we need to know the Greek and the Hebrew, but you'll have to learn it from somebody besides me. And we have to, I don't even know the Greek, much less the Greek, and you come right around to it. We need to know what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. We need to walk and live and move and breathe in the Holy Spirit. Peter was in prison, and constant prayer was being offered up to him by God. And an angel of the Lord came, and he told him, he broke the chains. He was chained between his hands and his feet. Both were chained. And the angel came in, and Peter was asleep. Now, I don't think I would be in a peaceful sleep in prison. I don't know about you guys, but I've only been in jail one night in my life. I was 16, and it wasn't my fault. That's what everybody told me when I visited Folsom Prison. It wasn't my fault. But I had one experience. That was enough. It was for fighting. A whole bunch of guys out in West Texas were fighting after a football game. And I wasn't fighting. I was just trying to survive. And I got arrested too. I was innocent. But the judge didn't care. He just put me in there with the rest of them. And one night, here they are. And here he is sleeping. And the angel came over and he smote him on the side. And he said, all right, Peter, I've done the hard part. I've opened up the prison for you. I've done everything else. But he says, I'm not going to dress you. You got to do that yourself. So he said, put your clothes on, put your shoes on. And they walked out, and they went out in the gate. The big iron gate opened of its own accord. And Peter went out, and the church was praying, and the church had no faith whatsoever while they were praying. But God answers prayer anyway, even if our faith is weak. And God does amazing things. And he gets to the door, and he knocks on the door, and a young girl named Rhoda comes to the door, and she gets so excited that she sees Peter. She runs in and shares them. Here they're saying, God save Peter, God deliver Peter, God do this, God do something else. And they said, well, Peter's at the door. They said, you're crazy. And so then the reasoning begins to take place. It must be his angel, or it must be a ghost. And Peter had to keep knocking and knocking and knocking to get in the door. God answers prayer, and the power of the Holy Spirit does the work and accomplishes the things that we are praying about and praying for. Brothers and sisters, we must have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our entire movement, in our entire world, because our reasoning and our arguments and our good intentions and our good works are not going to change lives and change the world. It is the Holy Spirit coming into my life and into your life and convincing us of our sins until we ask forgiveness of God, and giving us such an overwhelming desire to share the gospel of Jesus Christ that we can't keep from telling anybody. Now, I have a spiritual pursuit that I have in my life that not a lot of people know about. I love to fly fish. The hardest part of it is catching the flies first, but no, I like to fly fish. And I happened to catch an extraordinarily large picture, and I'll show you the picture after the service if you'd like. It's on my iPhone. And I'm so proud of that, that any time I'm around a fisherman and he talks about his fish, I show him my big fish. He's got a little fish, you know. He's got a little trout, you know, 5 or 6 pounds. I've got one that's 17 pounds. And so I just outpicture him, you know. I have that pride. I can't help it. It's just a weakness in me. And I know that then I have to do that. Then I have to repent of pride again. And then I have to go through that whole process again. And then I fall every time somebody talks about fish. But when I want to talk about Jesus, when I want to share the gospel of Jesus, I am so proud and thankful that he cared about me. I am so amazed. I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus. I had my haircut, believe it or not, the other day. I bring my own magnifying glass. And at the risk of having my beautifully coiffured hair messed up, I felt a burden to witness to the young lady that was cutting my hair. At first, you know, she was a little, let's say, not too receptive. And it wasn't too long, and the Holy Spirit was telling me, hey, she's got a need. So I kind of kept at it in different ways. Finally, she said, my aunt is dying of cancer, and I don't know how to pray. I said, would you like to pray? We had a great time. And her heart was open to the Lord. That's how the Holy Spirit works. What did Jesus say? You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. We cannot shut up. We cannot step aside. We must bear witness of Jesus Christ, and we must do it in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. And he will give us insights into people. He will lead us. He will tell us what to say. He will call scriptures to our remembrance. He will give us, don't be afraid of anyone or anything. I don't know of anybody in this country other than those children at school who have died because they were Christians. But in that school in Colorado, they wanted to know who the Christians were. My brother's been in missions, and primarily in the Middle East, for 41 years. He's still there. He's faced death many times. He's faced challenges many times. But the Holy Spirit compels him to stay there, to continue. And now even in the rabid, most extreme Islamic world, thousands of people, he's spent so many years in the country of Iran, thousands of people are streaming over into the borders into Turkey because they have free access there. And they're having dreams and visions and signs and wonders. And they're coming to Christ. And he's been spending the last several months, and I can't say where or how because of the internet, But he simply is, he and others that have ministered in that realm and in that world for so many years are constantly being called upon to teach and to disciple multitudes of people from the Islamic world who at the risk of their very lives are coming, receiving Christ into their life, being baptized, empowered by the Holy Spirit, receiving the Word of God, seeing the power of God work in their lives. And the Bible tells us, in the last days I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and that includes every nation, every kindred, and every tongue. But brethren, you and I, and every Christian in this country, and especially we who claim to believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, revealing and empowering us with the work of Jesus Christ, we must be empowered and renewed in the Spirit. And the Bible tells us when they prayed, they were renewed, and they began to speak the Word of God with boldness. Not rudeness, but boldness, compassion, sensitivity. The Lord will tell us what to say. He'll tell us what approach. He'll bring us to people. There are two things that happen. God is preparing people to receive the witness, and He is preparing people to give the witness. The tragedy is that so many of us have been intimidated, or our experience with God is in the past. You remember when you first fell in love and you first wanted to get married, and you married this individual and they were the greatest thing in the world, and you did all sorts of weird stuff you would have never done had you not been madly in love. I can relate to that. Man, when we were courting, or when we were first married, I went to art galleries and I went to concerts of violins and Tweety things, and I did all of that, and because, well, she's pretty fair. She went fishing with me a few times until one day she got back, and we were driving back from one of the three trips we took together, and she says, "I want you to know that I love you, and I want to continue to be married to you, but if you ever ask me to go fishing again, it's 50-50 on whether we'll be together much longer." I never asked her again, and I haven't gone to another... Whatever. God gives wisdom. I go on through the Bible. Miraculous releases. Deliverances. God spoke to the early church and they prayed, and God would decide which person should be in leadership and what they should do. They would face any kind of a need, any problem in the church that arose, they would go to prayer. And the apostles, you know, you look through the scripture. Now I'm just mention some few things that happened. In the book of Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to Samaria. Samaria was a place where the Jews despised them because they were of a different race. They were half Jewish and they were half a part of the conquered Syrian nation, the nation that had conquered them. But Philip went down and he preached the gospel, and many, many people became Christians. When Peter and John heard about this, they went down to Samaria. And the first thing they did is they asked them about the Holy Spirit, and they prayed for them. They laid hands on them, and those people received the Holy Spirit. Now, it does not say they spoke in tongues, but something visible happened because Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy the gift of God that he could profit over. And suddenly Peter and John said to him, you gave him, put basically a curse on him because he was trying to buy the things of the Holy Spirit. And he said, if you can do anything, pray for me that this won't happen to me. It'll be changed. And they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts chapter 10, there was a tremendous move of God. God did a marvelous work. And suddenly, when they prayed, Peter was there. He had this problem. He didn't want to go and be with the Gentiles in front of other Jewish Christians. But God, you know the story. God showed him some stuff. He told this big sheet. He was up there praying in the house of Simon the Tanner. I don't know why he was worried about, you know, being up there and what he ate, because he was hanging out in the house of a tanner where they have kill animals and tan their hides, and that made him impure anyway. He shouldn't have even fussed about it. And so God gives him a vision. He shows him all this stuff up there, throw it up in the air, all kinds of critters and birds and bugs and all kinds of snakes and slithers. feathers and everything else that was going on. And God said, don't call anything that I've blessed unclean. And so Cornelius was praying. He wasn't yet a Christian, but he was praying. He was a man of faith, a man of seeking for God. And he had a need of a healing in his house. And so they sent for Peter, and Peter came, and Peter started speaking to them. And the Bible said, when they were still speaking, they suddenly heard them speak with other tongues. They believed on the Lord Jesus, then they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they said, how can we deny these people to be baptized in water because they have received the Holy Spirit just like we have? In Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul went down to Ephesus, and he was in the neighborhood. And there had been a revival going on there. Apollos was a great preacher and a great teacher. And he asked these 12 men or so that were there. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? He said, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And I'm afraid that's the case in too many churches and too many lives. We haven't heard that there is the Holy Spirit. It is not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's what brings victory. That's what tears down on the walls. The gates of the scripture tells us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. In other words, it doesn't mean that we're being protected from the gates of hell. It means that hell is holding these captives, and in the power of the Spirit, we're to kick the gates down and walk in and lead the captive and set them free through the power of Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We desperately need an outpouring and a moving and a stirring of the Holy Spirit. I was sharing with Damien that we were back in Boston a few weeks ago, and the theme of the service was of the meeting was on the Holy Spirit. And Boston's a little different. The people are a little different there. They're good, but they're not exactly Southern, demonstrative. They're Northern, Northeastern, and they're very reserved. And Sandy Adams was there, and Don McClure and myself, and the pastor Randy was there. And Randy said, we have to have a move of the Holy Spirit. We have to have a move of the Holy Spirit. And so we were assigned to preach on the Holy Spirit. And we did a number of times, each of us preaching on the Holy Spirit. And they were very reserved and very kind of, and so the night came, and Sandy called people forward to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they have terrible winters back there. Sometimes they'll be, you know, virtually housebound for months. And I think that those guys, most of them must just lift weights the whole time. I've never seen so many overbuilt guys in my life. I have special muscles. I have soft muscles. They had hard muscles. And here they were kind of stoic, and we were supposed to go around and pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. So we start praying, and the Holy Spirit began to move, and these big old muscled guys, I'm here, so many of them. I mean, there were some like you too, but there were, but these big old muscled guys, suddenly tears began streaming down their faces, and they began to worship God. And some of them actually lifted their hands, and the presence of God filled their lives, and the joy of the Lord broke forth on their faces. And they went out, and this is, I've got to tell somebody. One man told me, I've got to go tell somebody what's happened to me. He said, I've got to tell somebody. Jesus is real. I know Jesus is real now. The power of God. I felt it. It shook me. He said, I know that it's real. I'm not saying it has to happen that way to everybody, but I was just amazed. It wasn't just one after another. And they would come, and we'd ask them, is there anything I can pray for you about? Well, nothing really. You know, my dog has had colic or something. But, and then all of a sudden, one of them starts talking to me, and it's not a confidence, because you don't know who he is, and I won't tell you because I can't remember his name anyway. But the fact of the matter is, he's standing there and he says, I really don't have a particular need. I said, well, can I pray for you about anything? And he said, well, you can pray. And so I prayed a little bit. Pretty soon he's there, he's got his arm on my shoulder, and he said, look, my wife's leaving me. My home's breaking up. I'm in desperate need. I didn't know it, but the Holy Spirit did. And there are hungry, desperate people all over this world who are waiting for someone to come and tell them that Jesus is still alive, that he still performs miracles, that he still casts out demons, that he still heals broken hearts, that he still heals broken marriages, that he can still deliver people from drug addiction or alcoholism. He can break any bondage. He can break any power. But when you walk and live in the Spirit and you sense the power of God and you get into the Word and you see how the early church constantly prayed, and as they prayed, the Spirit constantly was poured out upon them for every case and every situation. I'm not going to go through all 32 times in the book of Acts where they prayed, but every time they prayed, the power of the Holy Spirit came and met that challenge and met that need without exception. Study it for yourself. When they prayed and the Spirit guided their prayers, things happen, brethren. Things happen, brother. And I'm telling you something. I don't care. You know, I'm not telling you have to speak in tongues. That's between you and the Lord. But I know one thing. I don't know how to pray as I ought half the time. I get a burden to pray, and I start to pray. And I think, well, now let's see, Lord, what is it? I know I've got to pray, but I don't know what it is. And so I'll pray in the Spirit, and I don't know the process. But I know that when I pray in the Spirit, and I believe this is primarily for our private devotional life. I believe that in the church, the teaching of the Word is powerful and vital, but it is supercharged by the power of the Holy Spirit that comes out of a life that walks in the Spirit, that breathes in the Spirit, that lives in the Spirit, that listens to the Spirit, and He will guide us and direct us into truth. He will guide us and direct us into purpose, and He will show us what needs are in the lives of the people we're praying for, whether we understand it or not. God does, and when we, by faith, have power and witness and witness and witness. And the only way we're going to do that is if we are so charged with the Holy Spirit, we cannot shut up. We simply can't stop. We have to talk about God. We have to talk about God. Now, I'm not judging you. I might do it later. I'm not judging anybody. I've been preaching the gospel for 53 years. And I know one thing. Without the Holy Spirit working in my life, I cannot teach. I cannot preach. I cannot be fruitful. And we are living, all of the signs point to the fact that we're living in the days just before the coming of Jesus Christ. And our nation is sinking under a load of sin that is so heavy that it's dragging multitudes into the pits of hell under the control of Satan. There is less prayer. There is less power. Maybe more knowledge. But without the baptism, the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you ask for it, you'll receive it. I'm not saying you'll have the gift of tongues. I believe it's available if you want to exercise that gift. But I know one thing. When you ask, what do you do? Jesus said, ask. Lord, I don't have the power to meet the needs in my family. I don't have the power to bring my wayward children back to you. I don't have the power to witness effectively. Oh, Holy Spirit, I need you. Because you promised that when you come and take residence in my life, that I will receive power. And Jesus said, when that happens to you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Men, I urge you, pray, open your hearts and pray that God will renew us in the Holy Spirit, that He would shed upon us abundantly the Holy Spirit and just empower us with the love of God and the power of God to go out and walk and live in the Spirit and trust God to guide us and guide our speech and guide our understanding, that we might minister in power and in grace and the grace of the Holy Spirit. These things God has laid on my heart today. These things I had to share. And I so love and appreciate Damien. His heart's with me. He believes it. He experienced it. He knows it. God has extended both of our lives from cancer. There's a reason. And this is a part of it. God longs for us to seek Him and to open our hearts completely and to lay our pride aside and say, Holy Spirit, come into my life and do whatever you want with me and fill me until I'm so full I can't contain it. Let it spill out. So burn it in my heart that I cannot be silent. For this world desperately needs people full of the power of God that can share Jesus Christ with them and see the devils of hell tremble and shake and flee from these lives, and they'll be delivered by the power of Christ. We need a renewing of the Holy Spirit, and God wants to give it to us. Let's stand together. I want to close the service this way. If you're ready to give God everything, to empty out completely so that He can fill you with a renewal of the Holy Spirit and the power and passion to win souls to Christ, I want you, brethren, to come right down here at the front. Let's just pray together for a while before we leave. I urge you. God has some incredible things for us. He does. For the Lord Jesus loves you, and He has called you, and He will empower you to not be weak. He will take the fear away. He will fill you with joy and boldness. He will prepare the hearts of others to receive your testimony and to receive your word. He will give you the things to say and the things to do. And He will prepare you and use you, and you will experience the joy of being a mighty instrument in the hand of the living God. And you will see a transformation as you walk and go deeper and deeper in Him in every area of your life. And He will use you to have a new impact and influence upon your wives and upon your children and upon those that you work with. Therefore, open your heart, for God has gifts to give you, and you would receive them simply by asking. You do not earn them. You do not plead for them. But by faith you reach out and you say, Lord, give me this gift of your Spirit. Empower me that I might better glorify and lift up the name of Jesus. That I might see the gates of hell torn down. That I might see people delivered from the bondage of sin and Satan. That I might experience the glory of watching the smile of freedom and victory when the slave to sin and the devil are set free, and the joy of the Lord comes into their heart and their eyes sparkle with the knowledge that God loves them and God died for them and now God has saved them and God will use them. Therefore, open your heart and do not withdraw, but continue, not just in this moment, but continue to keep your heart open to the Holy Spirit that you might honor and glorify your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He shall answer your cry and shall do amazing things through your life. Because He has the power to do anything, and no power can resist Him, and no demon can withstand Him. Therefore, rejoice in the power and the might of the risen Christ, and He will mightily use you, and you shall walk in victory and walk in joy in every circumstance, and God will use you to bring in a great part of the harvest that is set before us now. Therefore, rejoice and glorify in the Lord, and receive and renew renewed in the Holy Spirit and let God speak to your heart and speak to your life and through your heart and through your life. Thus saith the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just worship the Lord for a while. Let's just worship the Lord for a while. Come on, brethren. Lord Jesus, thank you for these precious men. They carry so many burdens and they have so many pressures in their life. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, you're so much more powerful than our problems. You're so much able to fill every need that we have. I pray, Lord, that through this time together, as we've heard such marvelous words, the words of God presented so marvelously, and we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, God, start and kindle a fire of revival and a fire of the Holy Spirit burning in our hearts and lives, and be glorified through us. Lord, we want to be baptized and renewed in the Spirit. We need, O Lord, to have that charge as the disciples would come to you again and again and again for a refreshing, for a renewing. Pentecost was not a one-time experience for them, but it was a way of life. And they learned to trust you, and they learned to pray, and they learned to walk in the Spirit. Thank you for these men who have willing hearts and willing lives. Oh, Lord Jesus, be glorified through their lives and use them mightily. Use them mightily. May they bring fruitful in their lives. Lord, I know that we have challenges, and I know that we have problems, but you are greater than all of our challenge and greater than all of our problems. Let us see you in your majesty and power, and may the Holy Spirit through our lives draw men to Jesus, and may we see Jesus as he truly is, the Savior of our soul, the deliverer of our soul, the sacrifice of God giving us access into the very throne room of the Father, as the Holy Spirit hears what Jesus says and whispers it into our hearts, that we might go forth and be fruitful. Be glorified, O Lord, we pray, in this part of our lives as we make ourselves available to you, Lord. Here I am. Send me, Lord, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. Send me, O Lord, and use me for your glory. We pray in Jesus' mighty name, and we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you guys. I'm telling you, God loves you. God's doing some things. He's doing some things. And if you want to know more about the baptism of Holy Spirit, you want to know more about the power of God, we're here. Pastors are here. Believers are here. I just thank God for you. You're the lifeline of the world. You're the lifeline of the world. Christian men, you're the lifeline of the world. God wants to use you in your family, in your community, everywhere. And he will. He has, but he's going to use us in greater measure than we've ever been used before. I have that conviction in my heart. I'm 75 years old, but I don't even know it. I don't even care. I don't. You know, you say, well, you're going to die? Yeah, I plan on it. You know, sure. You know, we all die. You know, I may not be. It looks like the rapture may save me from that experience, but I don't know about that. But the fact is, as long as I have breath, I'm gonna do what God tells me to do and go where God tells me to go. You know, and the older you get, the less you care about who cares. You just don't care. And God wants to use you, and he's going to use you in greater measure than you've ever known before. So this is not just one time of walking to the front. This is like keeping your heart open day after day after day. And you're going to go deeper and deeper into God. And you're going to experience things that will absolutely shock you. Amen. That God does in your life. God does in your life. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked at what God does. And excited and thrilled and vibrant. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you.